But I just want to greet all of you, you know. Thank you for coming out. I kind of overestimated the crowd because I didn't know how many firemen were coming. I went to a funeral not too long ago in Wamanalo, and I think it had so many people over there. I thought it was on Republican. Oh, no, I went Democrat. Anyway. But so I want to just ask you guys to help me out. Make sure you get your bentos. Take one extra one or something so that, you know, you're just going to help me out on that. And I really appreciate that. But we should start exactly at 10 o'clock, the passing review. So I want to see if the firemen are ready. I see he's got, give me the thumbs up over here. So we got about 1 minute. A lot of you guys I haven't seen in a long time. I just want to say, you know, let's not wait till somebody dies, okay? All right, let's get together more often. Let's call each other. Let's fellowship together, you know. We've known each other for so many years, and yet we grew apart. But, you know, I'm getting to that point. I mean, gosh, it just seemed like yesterday I was a young guy. But, you know, I'm young in heart. I have a lot to look forward to. But for me, it's not the end. It's the beginning. So, you know, just like my brother Mike. And I'll share a little bit about that in a little while. It is 9:59 and 10 o'clock. There you go, Captain. It's all yours.
Firefighters, uncover. On behalf of all active and retired members of the Honolulu Fire Department and their families, it is with great honor and privilege that we pay tribute to Firefighter 3 Michael Wilson and his family by sharing the firefighter's prayer. Let us bow our heads. When I am called to duty, God, wherever flames may rage, give me the strength to save some life, whatever be its age. Help me embrace a little child before it is too late, or save an older person from the horror of that fate. Enable me to be alert and hear the weakest shout, and quickly and efficiently put the fire out. I want to fill my calling and give the best in me to guard my every neighbor and protect their property. And if according to your will, this life I must depart, please bless with your protecting hand those foremost in my heart. Firefighters, forward march.
Well, now I can see why Mike loved being a fireman. It's a special group. I know that was his dream job. He loved every day of it. And we thank the fire department for coming down and honoring Mike like this. We're gonna have a couple of songs. Chauncey's gonna come back out. We're gonna sing a couple of songs. And then after that, we'll have Paul Higa, he'll do the eulogy. And then after we have that, we're gonna have a time for reflections. And that means if you've known Mike, you'd like to come share something about Mike, we'd appreciate it that you'd come up and share with us your memories, the times that you had with him. So there will be an open mic. You just come up and one after another. And please, share something. You know, when we were in Kauai, several people came up and they loved him over there. We left him there, by the way. You know, because that was his desire. And it was a wonderful service. And it was great that he found some place that he could call his real home. So just come up, share a few things if you would. And after we get through with that, we'll have a slideshow, as you can read. It was put together by Angelina Pablo. It's a family from his wife's, former wife's family, his daughter's family. She put it together. And then you guys get to listen to me all over again. But you know, there's a price to pay for everything. So right now, Chauncey. Oh.
in the stillness of my soul, I reflect to see let's go.
Okay, Paul. Yeah, this is Paul Higa, son-in-law, and to his beautiful daughter Stephanie.
Good morning, everyone. Born in California in 1954. Michael Wilson was the third of six children by their mother, Elizabeth Halako Kau. There were five brothers and one sister, beginning with Ken, Myron, Michael, Michelle was their sister, Robert, and the late Stephen was the youngest. Michael's father, a dedicated member of the United States Navy, worked on an aircraft carrier. He served in World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War. Being in an active duty military family that moved around, Michael attended a number of schools in different locations on the mainland. In 1968, Michael moved back to Hawaii, where he attended Jarrett Intermediate and would go on to graduate from Kalani High School, class of 72, where he played football and ran track. Mike attended Leeward Community College, but changed his path when he became a firefighter with the Honolulu Fire Department. He progressed through the ranks as a Firefighter 1, Firefighter 2, and retired as a Firefighter 3. He served at stations 1, 5, 7, 9, 31, and Waterfront. According to retired HFD Captain Philip Fujimoto, one of Mike's longest and best friends, Mike was a good cook, but used all the pots and pans. He remembers Mike leaving huge messes to clean up. Philip says he enjoyed Mike's cooking, although one of the secret ingredients in Mike's cooking was cigarette ashes. He'd usually have a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. Sometime after retiring from HFD, Mike moved to Kauai to do construction and drywall with a firefighter he worked with from Oahu. Eventually, he went on his own and did work with different peers from the industry. Back in 1979, Mike and Evelyn were married. He gained an instant family and was kept busy being a husband and dad and add drywall in addition to being a fireman. After 10 years of marriage with Evelyn, he maintained a relationship with Stephanie and Daniel. Mike's family expanded to include two grandsons and a granddaughter-in-law, Danny and Dylan and Brianna. God bless Mike. God bless Mike to be together with all his kids and grandkids. For one last time during a trip to Arizona last year in May, two memorable events during the trip. Excuse me. Was having dinner at a teppanyaki restaurant for Bree's birthday and going to see a Major League Baseball game. Interesting tidbits about Mike. Did you know, as early as the second grade, Mike remembers wanting to be a naval nuclear physicist? One of his favorite subjects was history. He enjoyed watching shows like the ones on the History Channel about World War II. Mike enjoyed scuba diving in his younger days. We found a Scuba Divers of America membership card. He enjoyed skiing trips to Lake Tahoe. We found a few lanyards that carried all-day tickets. If you knew Mike, you knew which side he favored in politics. In 2022, Mike was asked to run for the Republican Party for the County of Kauai State Representative District 17. He had a decent showing with 1,969 votes, 23.4%. Not bad for a first-time candidate, especially for a Republican in Hawaii. If you knew Mike, you knew he loved football. His favorite team was the Los Angeles Chargers. He particularly loved it when players and coaches gave glory to God. If you knew Mike, you knew he loved his cats. This is a quote from a text to Steph. God first, kitty cat second, football last. Snowflake was his first, Shadow came along next, who grew into a scaredy cat and didn't come out from hiding when visitors came into the home. Smokey was third, Boots was his latest. He was rejected by the other cats at first, but it made Mike happy when the others finally befriended him. If you knew Mike, you knew he loved the Lord and his church, the church at Koloa. He served there by running the video camera where he recorded, edited, and uploaded Sunday services. He taught a few Sunday school classes and was a part of the men's ministry. At Mike's memorial service in Kauai, there were so many people from his church and even from the community who told us they loved him and will miss him.
Good job.
You see, they gave me that job in Kauai, and I flubbed it up pretty bad. But anyhow, right now we're going to have reflections. If anybody wants to come up and share something about Mike, I would really appreciate it. Anybody? No scared over here. Come on. Jeez. All right, here we go. Here we go.
Hello, everybody. I am Bob, Mike's younger brother, Myron's brother, Kenneth's brother. Unfortunately, my sister Michelle is not here, but I do not have anything eloquently prepared, so I'm just going to share a couple of memories that we had. And Myron can corroborate these stories, I hope. When we were living in the San Diego area, I remember when Halloween was Halloween, and we went out and we started probably when the sun went down and trick-or-treated all day long, me with my two older brothers. We had grocery sacks full of candy, and it's a memory that I'll never forget because those grocery sacks were so full that they started to rip, and this kind lady, actually, this is back in the day when you could do things like that. She invited us in. She fed us dinner. And she gave us new, brand new shopping bags so we could take our treats home. And just wonderful memory. And all the times we went camping, and if anybody was going to fall out of the tree and break something and get poison oak or poison ivy, it would be, or fall into a cactus. Remember that, Myron? It would be my brother Michael. But I love him, and I'm going to miss him. And we didn't have too much contact the last few decades because life gets in the way. But yeah, that's my brother Mike. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. That was beautiful. That's exactly what we're looking for. Come share. Anybody want to share? You guys work with them? All right. Introduce yourself.
My name is Myra Jones, and Uncle Mike, he was my uncle. And I recently reconnected with him. And I talked to him the day before he passed. And when I called him, and when I found out he passed, I was in shock. I was just so sad. But we reconnected. He called me and said, "Hey, I'm in Kaiser. Can you come pick me up?" And I would go. I had had my hair colored, and I had my hair up in this whole wrap. I'm like, "I just got my hair colored, but I'll come and get you." So I went and picked him up and dropped him off at the bank so he could do banking, and then dropped him off at the airport. And he did red light therapy with my girlfriend. I would pick him up, and that's how we reconnected. Was I'd pick him up for 2 weeks. Twice a week he would do it, and I would go and pick him up, and then we'd have lunch, and he's such a vala'au, and we would talk and talk and talk and talk forever. So I'm really, really glad that I was able to reconnect with Uncle Mike and just bond with him, because we had a lot in common with God, politics, just what he believed and I believed in, and we really, really, it was just really nice to reconnect before he's in heaven.
All right, Renee. Awesome.
Hi, aloha. So for the family, we all called him Mike X. And there was one time my mom and I were at the grocery store, PMP in Kaimuki, and here Mike was a new fireman, so excited. So him and his crew, they were at the store shopping. And then he sees us and he yells out, "Auntie Tita!" And she calls him over and she goes, "Come here." She goes, "You call me Auntie Betty, okay?" He goes, "Well, you're still Auntie Tita to me." But yeah, that was a fun memory of him. And he was always a fun person. Thank you.
Okay, come on, nobody? Okay, one more coming, all right. Oh, one more too, okay. Oh, oh, one at a time, one at a time. Okay. All right, good, good. All right, Captain, thank you.
Sorry, Lee.
Hi, everybody. Ooh, that's loud. How come when I'm sitting back there, I can't hear you? Anyway, I'm Philip. I'm a good friend. I was a good friend of Mike's. We spoke on the phone almost every day. And not just, "Hello, how are you?" We spoke on the phone for hours at a time. We'd watch a baseball game together, we'd watch a football game together. We had a lot of things in common. He got me interested into the LA Dodgers recently. So I've been watching them, and every time I watch that game, those games, I think of Mike. He knew every player by their name, their positions, how good they were, how junk they were. We talked about anything and everything for years. Thank God for cell phones. He gave me my first cell phone because he had so many. I remember back then, batteries didn't last more than an hour or so, so we'd always have more than one battery. And towards the end of his life, one phone wasn't enough. He had to have at least two phones so they could talk all day long. I remember commenting to Stephanie that it's too bad the cell phones don't catch in heaven. But maybe he doesn't want to catch a phone call up there anyway. He's too happy to be with the Lord. He'd always tell me, "I want to go be with the Lord already." I thought, "Come on, don't talk like that." In fact, I spoke to him the day he passed, the day Brent called me. He told me he was struggling, and he was ready. So go to the doctor. He goes, "No, didn't want to." So it was like he knew it was coming already. But I really miss him. Every day I miss him a lot. I mean, I pick up my phone, I want to call him, but I know he's not going to answer. So I Stephanie and Paul have his last phone. You still have his phone? Is it still on? Have you talked to anybody that called? He must be getting a lot of phone calls. Because if I wasn't talking to him, he'd be talking to somebody else. And if you'd hang up, his reason for hanging up on me was, "Hey, somebody's calling. Or I got to call this person or something." But he talked to a lot of people on the phone. Another thing we had in common was the love of Donald Trump. He would be rolling in his grave right now. You know what I mean, right? We'll see. Maybe he'll help Donald up in heaven. I don't know. Hopefully. We were stationed together for many, many years. He was my driver at one point in time. And I think I saw our old fire truck outside. I remember standing by at this Waiau fire station right down the block here. And we were both lost. It was so embarrassing driving around the place with the siren on, not knowing where we're going. Fond memories. Captain and the driver not knowing where they're going. My goodness. Another thing that describes Michael is his big heart. He'd be doing drywall for anybody and everybody, and he wouldn't make a penny. That was Michael. I remember him coming to my house to help me with my garage. He insisted to come and do it. I mean, I'm not going to say no. So he told me, okay, you have this many square feet of drywall, you're gonna need this much mud and this much tape. I said, so I bought it. I thought, oh, that's a lot of mud, man. That's a lot of tape. Then he came up and he says, I'll be finished in a couple of hours. Not. He goes, I'll be finished in a couple of hours. It took him all day. And I found out why he ordered so much mud. Because one box would go on the ceiling, one box on the floor, one box on him. I thought, oh, no wonder you want so much mud. You're messy. He goes, no, this is the tools of the trade. That's what happens. I thought, no, I've seen other guys that are not this messy. But he had a big heart. He kept us laughing all day long at the station. And is a really good friend. I don't know what else to say. I know people in Kauai are really missing him. You should have seen the church. The church was full. When I stood up on the podium, I went, oh, where'd these people come from? I heard a lot of these people. I'm talking to Michael on the phone. He's talking to all these people in the background. I put some faces together with the names, but there were a lot of faces I never met. And I still wonder to this day what those people look like. I met his fiance, his ex-neighbor, and she said, what do you mean my fiance? I think, the pastor said, you and Michael are fiancés. She goes, wait till I talk to the pastor. But yeah, it's funny because she was a liberal and Michael was a conservative. But I don't know what else to say. I miss him. I miss him a lot. And I don't think I'll ever stop missing him. He's a very good friend, and he was almost like family. I hope everybody's okay. Is Myron here? Myron, I haven't seen you in years. And the first time I met Robert, how about Michelle? Did she come? Oh, I'm sorry she didn't come. I heard all about these people, but I never got to meet them. I finally got to get to know Paul and Stephanie. I heard about them all the time, but I never got to meet them until I went to Kauai, and I spent the whole day with them. That was very nice, very nice. Even caught the same flight back. No seats available in the plane, yeah? Full. Anyway, nice talking to you guys. I'm very sorry for your loss. But I lost too.
Hi, I'm Debbie Lee. My husband Marshall was in the fire department with Mike. I had invited two of his former fire friends to come up, but they're shy, so I'll talk on their behalf as well. Mike and my husband Marshall were stationed together at Kaka'ako, and during that time, there was an annual ski trip to different places, Canada, Utah, but mostly Lake Tahoe. And Mike was always forgetful. He would forget something just before the trip. Oh, I forgot this. Oh, I forgot that. So by the time they got to Lake Tahoe, they would have to stop at the department store or wherever to buy his underwear, t-shirts, jacket, whatever it was that he forgot to pack. At the beginning I went skiing with them, and I think by the fourth or fifth time I decided I'll stay home and just let the guys go. So Mike, every morning, he had to have his cigarettes and his coffee. We had to stop the car, and he'd run in the store and buy what he needed. Sometimes t-shirts, because he forgot, like I said, he forgot to pack. Other times, he would bring his drywall plans to Tahoe, and he's looking at what he has to do when he gets back home. But there are memories like that, and you know, different things on the ski slope as well. I don't know if he ever got lost on the route, but Guy and Frank, who were also firefighters, shook their heads too whenever we talked about Mike and the episodes that occurred, primarily in Lake Tahoe. As I said, Mike was forgetful. He would forget things, so they'd have to stop at the store to buy whatever he needed. But he was always laughing. Sometimes he got lost, and they would have to wait for him. Other times, he snored so loud that, you know, I couldn't sleep. So I think that's one of the reasons why I stopped going with them on the ski trips. But he really enjoyed going. He looked forward to going on these ski trips, and more so the fellowship with the other firefighters who tagged along. They all nodded their heads that he needed his cigarettes, he needed his coffee every morning. They'd have to stop early in the morning. And in fact, one time in Utah, Ken, another ski buddy, Ken and Marshall had to wait for him because he needed to smoke and he needed his coffee. And in Utah, in that particular time, it was very, very cold, and they had to smoke outdoors. And Mike, again, you know, he's trying to smoke and it's freezing, but, you know, that was Mike. And I'm sure his buddies have other stories to tell, but he was very loyal. He was very, and they were friends for years, and they every year went to Lake Tahoe, well, toward the end anyway, Lake Tahoe. But no matter what, and he had some bad habits, and but, you know, they stuck like glue and went every year, you know, skiing. And that was something that they all enjoyed doing together. I'm sure they have many more stories of them on the slopes. Sometimes they had to wait for Mike to get to the bottom. And other times, I don't recall if he ever got lost and they had to go find him. But he was enjoyable. He enjoyed life. And he enjoyed friends. He had friends for life. And that was Mike. And I thank the family for sharing Mike, you know, with us. And I'm sure that God has blessed him and has guided him throughout his journey. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for sharing. Right now, we're going to have the slideshow, and then after that, I'll come back and tell you about the mic that I know.
Yeah. that set me free. I want to tell the world out there, you're not some fable or fairy tale that I have made up inside my head. You're God, the sun.
Okay. There's a lot of things I wanted to share with you guys today. Okay, for one, it seems so solemn, right? But the truth is, this is a real celebration of life. Because Mike loved Jesus Christ. Okay. And then I'm going to share with you some stories about Mike that I have, some funny, you know. Mike was a very passionate man. I mean, he was very, very passionate. Back in 1974, when I came to know the Lord, all I can tell you is that God is so good that Mike got saved, Myron got saved, his family came to know the Lord. And I know where Mike is. That's the beautiful part, because in 1974, he was born again. He received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And now I know that he's celebrating with God. Because that's what the Bible says. That's the promise of God. That's the promise that Jesus gave all of us. You know, in our life, you know, I just realized something too, you know. Mike's 5 years younger than me, and I got saved when I was 24, so he was 19 when he got saved. I mean, I thought that was an awesome thing. 19 years old, so much ahead of you, but he came to know the Lord. You know, and then, you know, there are times for all of us, like myself personally, my brother Stephen, who I did a service for him right here too. But he came to know the Lord too. He came to know the Lord because someone, a friend of mine that I had known from elementary school, who I had gone to college with, who got messed up in different things that he should never have gotten messed up in, and I was no better, I was worse probably. But one day, he came over and shared Christ with me, and I told him, you got to be crazy. You went from drugs to Christ? Yeah, you got to be losing it. But because of that one person, I can tell you today that this is a celebration of life. Because Mike's not dead. His body, his tent, his dwelling here on earth has been gone back to ashes, as it says in the Bible. But his spirit went to be with the Lord. Because that's what the Bible teaches. And I believe the Bible because, for one thing, it's historical. I mean, shoot, it's all there, without a doubt. There are more witnesses about the truth of the Bible than any other document ever written. And people keep, their lives keep getting changed for the better because of that. And Mike, one funny story, when I say he was passionate, he came over to my house in Kailua. In fact, Ginger was living right next door to me. It was a little duplex, a little wooden structure. And Mike came over one day, but I wasn't home. So my wife was there, and he said, "Where's Ken?" "Oh, he's not home." He said, so they were talking. I don't know what was happening, but talk about his smoking. Well, Mike wanted to make a super commitment to God. So he took his cigarettes, threw white gas on it, and lit it on fire. Poof! There was my porch going up in flames. But being a fireman, you know, he saved the day. He was able to put it out. But that was Mike. When he gets into something, and, you know, I laughed when she said he's the one that was falling out of the tree or getting the, you know, when they went camping. That was kind of like Mike, you know. And then also, Mike was very competitive. And so one day we were in a house up in on 1 mile road up in Palolo Valley, because my mom had rented a house over there, so now they were staying there when they came over from the mainland. And we were playing this game. I forget what the name of it is, but you had blue pieces and you had red pieces. And on the back of it, you had the soldiers, you had bombs, you know, different things like that. You had the red pieces and the blue pieces, and you had the map, and you chose your territory, you set up your crew, I mean, your men. And being a competitive guy, Mike was, you know, it just so happened that I was sitting in this one side, and the lamp was behind Mike. And of course, Kalani boy, choose red. Well, the funny part is I could see everything right through the piece. So I knew where all his bombs were. I knew where all his men were. So I was smashing him one game after another. Man, he was furious. He couldn't figure out what was going on. And I was having the best laugh. And then I told him, Mike, you know, and he was furious. I don't know. I don't think he ever forgave me, because he never played anything against me anymore. So that was it. He wasn't going to play against me anymore. But that was Mike. I love that brother. Okay, I love all my brothers, by the way. I'm going to start off this, or I'm going to go to it right now. I'm going to read this scripture, because this is what it's all about. And this to me is Mike. This is his life. This is my life. This is Stephen's life. And because of that, you know, we all got saved. I know Stephen is in there. I know he's there, because before Stephen left, he loved God. I know Mike's there because he loved God. I know my mom's there because she loved God. Jesus didn't say you had to be perfect. He just said that you had to love me. You have to accept me. I did it all for you. And that's what this story is all about. I'm going to read right now from the book of Luke. Is it Luke? I think it is. Wait. Yeah, okay. Luke 15. You get up here, you forget everything. No matter how many times you stay up and you figure it all out, you can't do it. Anyway, Luke 15, the 11th verse. It said, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. He said, a man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this young son packed up all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have good food enough to spare. and here I am, dying of hunger. I will go to home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son. He embraced him. Okay. And he kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned both against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But the father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the fatted calf. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he was found. So the party began. This is a celebration of life. You know, our life, being saved in 74, has been 50 years. 50 years. And during the 50 years, serving the Lord, cruising along, everything's good. Then some things happen, real life happens, and it doesn't necessarily go the way you expected it. And maybe you're not serving the Lord. You're kind of like the son, you know, left the father's house. Wanted to see what the world had out there, so he went. And after a while, he realized all the things that he treasured. He didn't have it anymore. It's easy to have friends when you got a lot of money or you're doing well, but as soon as it runs out, take a look around. Take a look around. That's life. Not condemning or saying anything about that, but that's life. But that son came to his senses. When he came to his senses, he went to his father and said, I don't deserve to be a son anymore. Just let me be a servant. But the father didn't even hear him. Didn't pay attention to one word he said. But he told his servants, get the best robe. Get the ring that signified that he was his son, that he was family. That was the authority was in the ring. And then he said, go. Kill the fatted calf and let's party. Well, I can tell you what. My life, Mike's life, Stephen's life. We all had our moments where we thought, there's something better out there than serving God. Went through some hard times. Brother Stephen's last words to me was he loved his children, he was worried about them. But his last words that he spoke on his earth to anyone was, I trust God. I know my brother's there. Mike went through his hard times. He moved to Koloa on Kauai. While he was here, boy, the realities of life was tough. It was a tough time in his life. He got divorced. His business was good. Mike, like I said, passionate guy. If he sees something, man, he goes all in. Mike, what you doing? We're doing good, Mike. Mike, we're doing real good. Why are you doing that? But he went anyway. Sure enough, consequences came, real life. So struggles. There's struggles, struggles, struggles. In my own life, same thing happened. You know, same thing happened to me. I'm moving along really good, thinking, man, I got it made. Boy, you know, I know the Lord. I'm really strong. And then before you know it, real life comes. I was where I should never have been. My life came crashing down. But see, the more the story I'm telling you is this. The father saw him afar off. God never takes his eyes off of you. Never. He's waiting for you to come. He's waiting for you to turn and come back to him. If you don't know him, he's waiting for you to know him. He gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would have never perish, but have everlasting life. That's what he did for you, and that's what he did for me. There's only one way. I'll tell you that today, because that's the truth. You know, people tell me, well, I've been a good person, you know, kind of moral. Yeah, you may be. You might be a great person. You might be, way better than I ever been, but you're not good enough. You can't be good enough because God is holy. You can't come into his presence in your condition. You need to be holy as he is holy. So what did he do? He gave his son to die for our sins, to bear our punishment on his body. And to show us that he was God, he raised him from the dead. And he says, if you believe this, that I am the resurrection and the life, you will not die. You will be with him. You will have eternal life. That's the promise in the Bible. It's not doing good works. It's not doing all of that because you can't do enough. It's like getting 100 speeding tickets and get caught. Well, actually, all you need to hit one, you go in front of the judge, you say, but judge, man, I've been driving real good all this time, man. This is the first ticket I had in a long time. Pay the fine, you're guilty. See? You can't, this doesn't matter how you've been living. The question is, did you keep all the law? And that's what people think. If you keep all the law, you're good. Nay. It doesn't happen that way. You can't be good enough. You got to pay. There's a price to pay. There's a judgment that's coming. Jesus Christ took that judgment for you. My brother Mike went to Koloa in a bad situation. He found a group of people that loved him. Found a group of people that brought him back to the right relationship with his father. And when he found that, if you were there on Kauai and you heard the people tell you how much they loved him, how much he loved them. You knew. Mike came to his senses. You knew. The Father set it up so he would. The Father, God works that way. He works that way. He'll bring you back to him. He's talking to every one of you today. God loves you. Your Father loves you. He wants you to know his love. It is not the heaven or hell scenario that causes me to serve God. No. When you come to know the love of God, the mercies of God, the grace of God, you want to serve him. It's a want to, because you all know what it's like to be loved by someone. And you will serve that person. Why? Because you love that person. Not because they say you gotta, although they do that sometimes. I love my wife because I love my wife and she loves me. I'm that bad place. I wasn't a good husband then. But God in his mercy and his grace saw me afar off. And he brought me back. He brought Mike back. And he said, kill the fatted calf. Today, let the party begin. I wanted to leave that with you. I wanted to share that with you because I know where my brother Mike is today. I know where my mother is today. I know where my brother Stephen is today. I know my brother over there loves God. And I will see him. The last thing I'll leave with you. King David fell away. He had a relationship with Bathsheba. The Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. That's the kind of relationship he had. He loved God. But life happens. He was where he shouldn't have been. So he fell into adultery. Then he tried to cover up his adultery by having the husband killed because the woman that he had adultery with became pregnant and he was king. They had a son. The son became ill. And he got down on his knees. He begged God. He pleaded with God. He wouldn't eat. He fasted. He did everything he could to entreat that the Lord would have grace and mercy and let his son live. That didn't happen. His servants were very concerned because he wasn't eating. The king wasn't eating. They were concerned. But then the son died. And they were murmuring. And David overheard them. And he said, did the boy die? And they said, yeah. He got up off his knees in front of God. He cleaned himself off. He put on the robes. He started eating again. And the servants were amazed. How come? How come now that he's died, you're not mourning? He said, when he was alive, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord with all my heart for grace. It was not to be. But this is what I leave you with. I will see my brother again. Sorry. David told them, he said, look, he cannot come back to me, but one day I will go to be with him. I will see him. My relationship with him is not over. It is the beginning. I want to leave that with you. I thank you for coming. I hope that you take some of these words that I've shared with you at heart. I'm going to have Chauncey come up. And we're going to have one more song. Wait. Time out. I'm too emotional. See, I'm kind of like that. I get emotional about things. But in closing, I'm going to have one of my pastors. This brother is just a wonderful pastor. He's a man of God. When he was here, you know, I was feeding the hungry. He was feeding, going to Waimanalo, feeding the homeless, because he has such a heart for people. And the Lord sent him over to the Philippines to start a ministry there. So he's a missionary to the Filipino community in the Philippines. And while he's there, he's established online a church in Pakistan and a church in Malawi. I love this man, the good man. He's going to share some closing remarks and a closing prayer. Then after that, we will have Chauncey come up and lead us in a song, Amazing Grace, because this is what it's all about. This is what Mike's life is all about. It's amazing grace. Amazing. I once was lost, and now I'm found. Okay, so Pastor Cliff, thank you.
Oh, praise God. What a wonderful celebration of life. And we're so grateful that all of you came out to honor Michael's life and memory. And we've got cherished memories to carry us forward from here. I was thinking two things I believe from what I've heard today that Michael would want to leave with you. One is that death is certain. No one escapes death. The other is that heaven is promised. And, you know, it's kind of like you have a blank check, and it's written on the account of heaven. It's good. It's good for everything. Whatever you write in there, it's good for. And it's signed by God in the blood of Christ Jesus. But this check's not going to do you any good if you just keep it in your wallet. It's not going to help you to put it in a frame and hang it on the wall. It's got to be cashed, and you've got to receive that gift and receive the Lord to benefit from that. And I know that Michael, you know, we all say one day we want to see Michael again. I know that he's hoping and anticipating that he's going to see you again. And we pray that you'll take advantage of this opportunity as we reflect on his life to be introspective on our own life, and that we've prepared our hearts and that we're in a relationship with the only one who can make that happen, the only one who can give us eternity. Jesus Christ. And with that, I just, again, thank you all for being here, and thank you to the firemen and the honor that they've shown the family, and we want to pray for you and pray for the family. And if you're able to, would you please stand with me at this time as we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for the representation here of a life well lived, and your blessing upon him. Those that he lived a life of service and cared deeply about those he loved and cared deeply about those he didn't even know that he could help, Lord. And you gave him that heart, and what a great message his life and an encouragement his life has been to us today. And we just thank you for the outpouring of love that's been shown here. And we thank you for the call of heaven. God, we've seen your love in and through him. And we know you've received glory today in his life, God. And we just ask your continued blessing of safety and provision for those who Michael cared so much about. First, his family, and then also for those who are first responders and give their lives in service every day, just as he did. And we thank you for this gathering, Lord. We thank you for your blessing upon it, all of the provisions that have been made for today, and all of the hearts that have joined together to celebrate Michael's life, God. And we want to honor you in everything that we do and everything that we say. We pray that it would be pleasing in your sight and in your hearing. And we pray for those who maybe haven't yet committed their lives to you, and maybe haven't yet made a decision to live for you and to be with you for eternity. Lord, we pray that today would be the day, and we make ourselves available, Lord, to share the promise of eternity, the promise of your word with them, and to pray for them. So I lift up everyone here today, God, that you would just wrap your arms around them, draw them close, and we ask your blessing on the following events, Lord, as we just fellowship together and enjoy a meal together. God, we ask you to bless it, to nourish our bodies, and to speak, continue to speak heavenly and eternal things to our hearts today, God. We love you, and we give you all our thoughts and all our praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
How sweet a sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed.
Amazing grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, that concludes the service for today. We have a lot of bentos. So like I said, I need help, okay, guys? I didn't know how many people were showing up. But what the Captain Phillip told me, and I should have listened, he said, you know, it's been a while since he's been out of the fire department, so maybe not so many guys will show up. But hey, I didn't want to take a chance. Somebody walking out of here without a bento. So if you walk out of here with two, I'd be like, yeah, so good. Celebrate, okay? Celebrate. Eat up. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. God bless all of you. Let's go have some fun and celebrate, okay? All right. Thank you, thank you, thank you.